I'm going to speak from one of Jesus' most well-known parables this morning. It's the parable of the sower. And it's recorded in three of the Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And one of the great things about this is a parable, because Jesus spoke in parables quite a bit, as you're probably very well aware. He actually, at the end of it, his disciples ask him about the parable, and he then explains it, which is so good. Because some of Jesus' parables, are, you know, there's a story, and you're kind of like, oh, I'm not sure, what am I meant to get out of this? Because sometimes the parables are a wee bit cryptic at times, and maybe we need to dig into them to get some meaning. But I love this parable because he literally says, this is what it means. So there's no ambiguity. And I'm sure there's layers of meaning like there always is in the Word of God. But this parable, he literally lays out what it means. I want to read from Luke 8, verse 4, okay? Now, this morning, I hope you either have a Bible or you have the Bible in your heart or on your tablet or your phone, because I'm going to read so many scriptures today. Is that all right in church to read a few scriptures? Well, sorry, a lot of scriptures. We're going to read a lot of scriptures today. I think it's going to be kind of cool. So, Luke 8, verse 4, if I can get it in the right place. Right, here we go. It says a large crowd, and Jesus starts telling a parable to a large crowd. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. And when he said to this, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. And then his disciples obviously heard, and they said, his disciples asked him what the parable meant. And so he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocks are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So that's quite a good chunk of scripture right there. So three things. There's a sower or a farmer. There's three things, three key parts of this parable. A sower or a farmer, there's a seed, and then there's soil. So we're going to sort of lay this out. So I hope you can handle or wait with me while we lay this out, okay? So if you took the farmer or the sower away, all you left is with seed and soil, and not much is going to happen. If you took the seed away, it's basically a man going for a walk. He's got nothing to sow. And then if you take the soil away, there's nowhere to put the seed. So there's three things that this parable talks about. And then Jesus explained it. So the seed is the word of God, and the soil is actually our heart, your heart, my heart. And as I read this, and this is what I really want to talk about today, there's a really strong link between God's word and your heart, and specifically between the condition of your heart and the ability to, so the condition of your heart is going to determine, can you receive the word of God? Is it going to be a fruit in your life? And then I kind of, when I sort of get those things happening, I kind of sense God asking me, how's the soil of your heart, Craig? What's the condition of your heart like? Is it ready to receive the word? Or is my heart got a bit hard, a bit dusty, a bit dry? And is it difficult for God to bed his seed into my heart? So I'm going to dig a bit deeper into this morning, okay? There's a relationship between God's word and your heart. So if the seed is the word of God, which I don't think any of us would dispute that, Good. No, it is the Word of God. So what is the Word of God? And obviously it's the Word that God speaks to us. You know, God speaks a Word. And we a wee while ago, Grant talked about the Logos and the Rhema, so I won't recap that. It's online if you probably want to listen to it. But I want to look at, this morning, I want to look at two lots of scriptures. I want to look at scriptures about the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about the Word of God? What does the Word of God describe? How does it describe itself? What attributes does it talk about that it would attribute to itself? What would the Word say about the Word? Does that make sense? Yeah. And then we're going to look at scriptures about the heart as well. And seriously, there's going to be a lot of scriptures, okay? Margaret and I have taught, we're probably not going to catch all of them. That's all right. But just before we do that, can you just pick up that picture, Margaret? This is a cool picture, a little image here. And some people have done beautiful pictures of Bible stories, and I reckon that's just a cool little picture. I think it's quite artistic, but I can imagine a farmer, you know, waking up that morning, and he puts that thing over his shoulder, and then he goes to some place where he stored up the seed, and he picks it up and he puts it inside that satchel, and then he walks down the road, and he's walking on the path that has been trodden on, you know, by heaps of people, and he probably walks past a few people who are going on their daily business as well, because I'm guessing he's doing this maybe sometime earlier in the morning so he can get it all done in the day. And then he finally reaches his field, and he has to step through a few weeds there and dodge the rocks, and he reaches into his hand, and he just starts scattering the seed. And there's a few birds there, and the birds are eyeing the seed up. Some are thinking, oh, that looks pretty good. I wouldn't mind eating some of that. So if we can just leave that picture up there for a bit, Margaret, it would be great. So this is the context of everything I want to talk about today. So I hope you just have that in the back of your mind. So are you ready? Wow, I didn't realize there was that many scriptures to read. Okay, Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. The word of God has the power to keep you in purity. This is a great message for young people, actually. If you're young, or you're a young person, I noticed the guys are in surge there, so I better step my game up this morning. Actually, Eden's on the front row, so I better step my game up. Whew. How can a young man or a young woman keep their way pure? By living according to your word. The word of God has the power that you can live in purity if you want to live in purity. Psalm 119, verse 105. This is what the word of God says about the word of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you feel like you're walking in darkness, don't know what to do with your life? You're lacking guidance, you're lacking direction? His word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. That's good. Psalm 119, there's a lot in Psalm 119 about the Word of God. Verse 130, it says, listen to this, the unfolding of your Word brings light. The Word of God is actually a package that's wrapped up. And inside of that Word, if you allow the Word of God to be unfolded in your life, there's power in it, there's light in it, but it's actually wrapped up, and you actually have to unfold that Word in your life, or you have to allow the Holy Spirit to unfold that Word in your life so that light can be released to your life. Are you lacking light? Let the Word be unfolded in your life. That's a good word. Now we're shifting. Now, you'll notice I've started in Psalms, and just keep turning right if you are in your Bible. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of our God endures forever. If God has spoken a word to you, if he's spoken a word into your heart, that word is going to endure. It will not fail. God's word cannot fail. Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11. And a lot of you know these verses, but man, isn't it good to be refreshed on some of these? Isaiah 55, verse 10, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower, bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. This is God talking. The word that goes from his mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God has a purpose when he sends his word. He has a purpose that he's going to achieve with his word. If he's spoken your word into his life, it's going to be fulfilled. He has a purpose and it will be achieved. It will be fulfilled. Faith should rise when you hear that. Jeremiah 1, verse 12. For I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. So God's eyes on his word. If he's released his word to you, to a city, to a nation, he's watching that word. His eyes are on his word to see that it gets performed. He doesn't just speak it and forget about it. He speaks it and he watches it. So if God has spoken a word to your life, he's watching it. He's watching how you are relating to that word. He's watching, are you embracing that word? Are you reminding yourself of that word? Are you trying to live according to that word? That should bring faith as well. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Have you got a stronghold in your life that you want to be broken? Huh. Jeremiah 23, 29. Is not my word like a fire and a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? So if you've got a stronghold that you know needs breaking, his word is what's going to do it. People should have said amen there. Right. Ephesians 6, verse 16, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the word of God is part of your armor. You've got an enemy. We have an enemy in this Christian walk. If you want to live a successful Christian walk, you need to have a sword of the Spirit that you can use to fight against the enemy. And that sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Yes, the word of God that gets sown into your heart. 1 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and training in righteousness. Do you know the word of God can actually correct you? Yeah. It can train you. It will bring change to your life. The word of God is just not something that a nice thing that leaves us as we are, but it will actually bring change into our lives if we allow it. Hebrews 1 verse 3, it talks about the Son who sustains all things by his power, the word of his power. If you are still here, you've been sustained by the word of God, and if you're going to keep going, you will need to be sustained by the word of God. So the word of God is a sustaining power. Do you need a bit of staying power in your life, a bit of persistence, a bit of perseverance? The word of God will sustain you if you allow it. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes or intents of your heart. The word of God, sometimes the word of God literally will get right inside of you and actually show you, this is what you're thinking right here. It can actually help you understand what's happening inside of your heart. So I actually said to Eden the other day, you know, Eden, you need to stop reading the Bible. And she kind of looked at me a bit funny, just like you kind of had there. Because like you guys are sort of doing that. What do you mean, stop reading the Bible? So you guys, I think we need to stop reading the Bible and we need to start letting the Bible read us. Wow. That's what it's all about. It's not just like a little book for us to read. Eden loves reading. Man, I tell you what, she can read. She's read War and Peace. She's read have you not read that one? Okay, books are this thick. She reads those books. So some of us need to stop reading the Bible and let the Bible read you, because the Word of God is a powerful force that actually wants to get inside of you and start to divide between soul and spirit and start to actually bring some revelation into your life. James 1 verse 2, humbly accept the Word planted in you, rooted in your heart, which can save your soul. Man, if your soul needs saving, if your soul needs transforming, it's the Word of God, the engrafted, planted Word of God, which will change you and save your soul. 1 Peter 1 verse 23, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable or incorruptible seed through the living and enduring Word of God. And then Colossians 3, this is out of order, but Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Man, so we need the word of God to dwell richly in us. And you, it's up to us if the word of God is going to dwell richly in us. So this is the seed. If the seed is the word of God, we've just looked at some of the attributes of the word of God. This is what God wants sown into your heart. What he wants sown into your life, into our lives. And hopefully you can sense the power that's available to us when we embrace the word of God, when we allow him to sow it into our lives, into our hearts. But it's only if you've got a soft heart. If you've got a hard heart, you're like that path that the seed fell on, it just gets trampled and the birds come and take it away. If you have a soft heart, the word of God can get inside of you. So the seed is the word of God, and the soil represents our hearts. I think soil is amazing stuff. And a lot of you know I'm a landscape designer. I've worked landscape construction. I'm going to tell you a few stories about that in a minute. Soil is amazing. It's magic. It literally is magic. It's supernatural. I love planting plants, but you put small plants into the stuff called soil, give it a bit of time, and they get bigger. So if you've got the right conditions in your soil, you put a small little plant or a seed in it, and it will grow, and it will expand, and it will get bigger. This is what God has designed our hearts like as well. God has designed our hearts to act like soil. What you put in your heart, what you allow to enter into your heart, is going to grow, and it's going to get bigger. Your heart is an incubator. Your heart literally is an incubator. What you put in it will grow. Man, if you're a young person here, if you're in Surge, you need to think about what you're putting in your heart, because what you put in your heart is going to grow, because your heart is soil. And if you don't believe me, look at those little plants that people plant, and they. If you go back to 2 or 3 years later, when there's a bit of sun, there's a bit of water, those plants get bigger. That's what happens inside of your heart. So how do we put things in our heart? How could we put the word of God in our heart? Or how could we put something in our heart that maybe shouldn't be there? It's really simple, by focusing on it. What you focus on is going to get inside your heart. So when I was in fourth form for the older people, year 10 for Surge, did I get it right? Fourth, year 10? 10, 11, 12. Yes, I got it. It's only taken 10 years to sink in. I allowed a particularly, it's interesting, Grant talked about music last week. You did, didn't you? Yeah. I allowed a music band to get into my heart. it's a bit embarrassing. Def Leppard, I think I have actually mentioned Def Leppard here before. I don't know if anyone saw the video, Joey Elliott's ripped jeans. I ripped some of my jeans. Mum, can you remember when I ripped my jeans? I should have worn them this morning. Man, that would be funny. I don't have them anymore. So.
We could rip those ones.
Yeah, you could actually. Yep. So do you know music has power?
Yeah.
Man, we worship and it draws us to God. And that's because we're listening to worship music. If we're listening to music that is drawing us away from God, you will be drawn away from God. Yep. Simple. So this music, Def Leppard, Joe Elliott, they literally got into my heart. So how did it get into my heart? Well, I chose to listen to the album Hysteria over and over and over and over. And it was at a time in my life when it was actually quite an emotional time in my life when I got introduced to Def Leppard Hysteria. So my cousin, who was a year older than me, had just been killed in a car crash. And that was a first one of our 23 cousins on my mum's side, first one of my cousins that had died, and probably one of the first people that I considered a close person that actually died. So my heart was probably a bit open, and I reckon there was actually a concerted effort by my adversary, and my cousins, who weren't saved, were just playing this album over and over and over, and all of a sudden I'm like, man, that sounds really good. And all of a sudden, I just started listening to it in the place where my heart was kind of open because my cousin had just died. And all of a sudden, this music just started to get a hold of my heart, and it started to grow in my life. And what was the fruit of that? Because, you know, the Bible says that if you sow the word of God into soft soil, it's going to reap 30, 60, 100 fold. Man, I listened to that album way more than 100 times, and I could tell you every word of it right now. Literally. No kidding. I'm saved, you know, and basically that what happened was that music caused me to backslide. And when I say backslide, I'm not 100% sure if I really, really 100% backslid. But anyway, my heart was drawn away from God by the music that I intentionally sowed into my life. And it didn't have good fruit. So what you focus on is going to grow, and it's going to produce fruit in your life. Because he's designed your heart to grow whatever gets planted in it, and it's going to grow 30, 60, and 100-fold. So what's planted in your heart? So in Hebrews 12, verse 2, the word encourages us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter, and the finisher of our faith. And if we can focus on Jesus, if you say, I want to live my life for Jesus, because I don't want to get pulled away by Def Leppard. Probably not many of you are at risk of that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And that's another way of saying focus on him. What you focus on will get bigger. And this morning, I reckon he's just encouraging you to check. Some of you, what are you focusing on? What are you allowing to get sown into your heart? It's a deliberate choice that you're making. I made that choice. So now let's do, again, what we did before with the Word of God. Let's look at scriptures about the human heart, our hearts, and how the Word of God can interact with it. So what is your heart? Well, our heart is the true you. And Mike Connell did a whole session on this a wee while ago, so I won't get into too much. But our heart is, we are so much more than our appearance right here. So if I, for some reason, was to chop my arm off, I'd be no less me. I wouldn't have an arm, sure, but it wouldn't change who I am, because my heart, my real me, is on the inside. So you could chop two of my arms off, and I would still be me, even though I'd have. So we are so much more than this. Okay, ready. So I'm going to race a few through these as well. So Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And then there's sort of a whole mixture of translations in here. What are you thinking in your heart? That's what you're going to become. Simple. The Word of God. This is what the Word of God says. That's why we want to think what the Word of God says about us. But as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Psalm 119, verse 11. Huh, here's a good thing. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you know, you can hide the Word of God in your heart and it will actually stop you from turning away from God. It will stop you from sinning against him. There's something about our heart that can receive the Word of God and it can be hidden in there. No one might even know it's in there. They might look from the outside and not say, oh, I can see you've stored the Word of God in your heart. But you can hide the Word of God in your heart. And I would encourage us to think about how we do that so that I might not sin against you. Proverbs 3 verse 3 said, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Did you know your heart's got tablets in it that can be written on? Proverbs 7 verse 1 to 3 said, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your heart. We know about tablets. Moses took some tablets up onto the hill and God wrote his law on some slabs of stone. Do you know God writes his law on your heart? He writes upon your heart. And so I wonder what is actually written, if there's these tablets there and maybe God hasn't written on the tablets of your heart or you haven't allowed him to. I wonder who has written what on the tablets of your heart. I wonder if we could read the tablets of our heart, what would it say? What inscriptions, what rules, what precepts, what judgment? I wonder what's written on the tablets of our hearts. And I think what's written on the tablets of our heart really has a massive impact on how we live our lives, on how we respond to God. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Proverbs 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And some versions says, out of it flow the issues of life. How are you guarding your heart? How are you guarding what God has placed within your heart? The Bible says, above all else, guard your heart. Because do you know what? Where your focus goes, where your heart goes, that's where your life will go. And then Matthew 12, verse 34 said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you know, if you're a person of discernment, if you've got a wee bit of discernment around your life, you can tell what's happening in someone's heart sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes by what they say. And I actually think body language is quite a big part in there as well. But, you know, your words, the Word of God says here that there's an overflow from your heart, out of your tongue, out of your mouth, and it can kind of, your words can reveal what's happening down here, the hidden part of your heart, what's written on the tablets of your heart is revealed by the words that you speak. So what are you known as? Are you known as a person who has words that are pure, holy, just, faithful? Or are you a person that is known for sarcasm, pulling people down, judgmental words? And sometimes we're a bit of both, eh? Sometimes I can be a bit of both too. So we can see the condition of our hearts has a massive impact on our life and the fruit that our life will produce. And I reckon we need some good fruit, eh? And I want to read the parable again. I'm going to go to Matthew 13 because there's three different versions of the parable. And there's this one thing I want to draw out of this version. So if we go to Matthew chapter 13, and I won't read the whole thing, but can I actually just, I'm going to read from verse... I'm so in denial and I so need glasses. Help him, Jesus. Yeah. So this is Matthew 13:13. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be hearing but never understand. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. And this bit here, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and their eyes, and they have closed their eyes. I'll finish that there. So in verse 15, it says that these people's hearts had become calloused. So callous is not soft, okay? So over the course of my working career, I've done a lot of landscape construction. I don't do it now. Thank goodness. Yesterday, Jackie and I put down 130 square meters of ready lawn. Has anyone ever put ready lawn down? 130 squares, hot day, and I had to, oh man. Whew. Let's just say, I am very thankful for Voltaren. I'm only standing here because of Voltaren. So my first experience of landscape construction was when I was at university, third year student, and there was a little notice that went up on notice board because we had to do practical work experience. So I actually had to get X amount, I think it was 6 weeks, practical landscape construction experience to graduate my degree. So I actually got a job in Queenstown, and I was like, yes, I love Queenstown. It was so good. It was one of the most fun, I can remember at that age, it was one of the most fun times of my life. I lived in a little caravan in the what was then the Arrowtown camping ground. I can remember the first night I walked into the caravan, closed the door, and I'm like, oh, I'm free! No one can tell me what to do! No one can tell me what to do! I can just remember this feeling of freedom. It was incredible. Can you remember that feeling? I don't have that feeling anymore. Don't worry, Jackie's out there. She'll never hear about it. She always says, man, I'd love to hear what you preach about, Craig. So anyway, my first job, I was working for a guy called Ralph, a German guy who came out from Germany, and he set up this landscaping business with a New Zealand company. And my first job was to literally stand there, never done this before, really, and at any length of time, stand there with a wheelbarrow, he would load it with, there was two of us, he'd load it with a bobcat, one scoop to two barrows, and I had to go out over there, and we were doing a lawn. And it was, it was a big house in Wanaka, massive, and this lawn was huge. And I'll never forget the first few times I was like, I was not good. It was wobbly. And when I finished that job, at the end of it, that work experience, Ralph and the other guy said to me, hello, man, we've so enjoyed you being here, but we have to say, on that first day, we looked at each other and went, oh boy, what have we got here? Whoa. And you know, you don't want to say, oh, can you just put a little lesson for me? I got the hang of it. But do you know what? And I got blisters that first day. And it's not much fun. But after a couple of weeks, I started to get calluses. And do you know, I've still got the calluses here. working landscape construction. It doesn't take long. I'm just holding something. And if you touch my hand, I've actually got calluses still here now. Matthew 13 talked about people's hearts had become calloused. So a callous is a response to something that has happened. So the callous is for me. So landscaping, rakes, spades, shovels, screeds, wheelbarrows all day long. And I actually had some, I got massive calluses on my hand. And they're not so bad now. They're hardly bad now anyway. But the calluses are there to protect a wee bit as well, because I don't want to get blisters all day, every day. Some of us have got calluses on our hearts. And I don't know, I'm not sure how to say this, but I'll say this like this. For some people, it's not a bad thing, because some of you are in circumstances or situations where you almost need a little bit of a protection from the circumstances and the things that are happening around you. And it's almost like the callus is actually a natural response, a bit of protection, because you've been through a bit of stuff. I actually believe God, he's always in the job of working in our circumstances. And maybe for some of you, there's circumstances God literally is actively or wanting to change, so that you're no longer in the circumstance where you're getting blisters. If that makes sense, can I put it that way? And I believe God really does actually want to work in some people's lives so that those blistering circumstances are just eased. And maybe you might actually even get moved out of some of those circumstances so that you're not getting blisters all day, every day. So I work for another landscape contract that I work for. He made three of us redundant on one day. And when I look back on it, he was a hard man. This is another boss. And I should have left because I was getting blisters on my heart from this guy. And I actually had to develop a little bit of hardness, because he was a hard man. And if I went in every day to work with an open heart, my heart would have been ripped to shreds. The words he spoke, and I should have, and maybe this is weird for someone, I should have picked myself up and moved myself on. I placed myself in a position where I was literally getting verbally abused, and with other people as well, regularly. And it was not nice. And now I can actually see that guy, and we can actually chat, and it's all good. So some of God might actually be in the middle of changing some of your circumstances, but after that, I believe, like, my calluses are nowhere near as bad, because God softens again, and he wants to heal, and he wants to bring healing so that my hands aren't too rough. I hope that's all right. I hope that's all right. But sometimes there's things that are written on the tablets of our heart that we've allowed that aren't God's word, okay? And we've allowed some things to be written on the tablets of our heart. So I want to just ask, what is in your heart today? What's been written on the tablets of your heart? What has been sown into your heart? Is there a bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, jealousy, anger, rage, ungodly vows, judgment, inner vows that are limiting your life? I reckon, man, wouldn't it be amazing to get a readout, a printout of what's written on your heart? Yeah. I'd be up for it. I'd be up for it. Yep. I say, okay, just give it to me. absolutely. Hosea 10 verse 12, we've got more scriptures, talks about breaking up the fallow ground in your heart. And this is not a new scripture to some of you, but for some of you, it will be a new scripture. So what is unfallow ground? What is fallow ground? It's ground that's been left with nothing planted in it, hasn't been cultivated, and it's hard. So some of us have got areas of our heart that are hard soil, and you see those pictures of ground that is like cracked in the middle of the desert where it's just hard, and you look at it and you go, there's no way anything's growing in that. And God just encourages us to break up the fallow ground, and the sort of like the life application version of that is, I want to soften your heart a little. There's areas where I actually want to bring a bit of softening into your heart, so that you can produce 30, 60, 100-fold of the fruit of my word in your life. It's God's heart toward us. Does anyone here live in Te Whariki? In Lincoln? No one. Wow. Because if you were, I'm going to say I feel really sorry for you. It's a new subdivision with beautiful homes, and I've designed lots of gardens there. I don't even know what is in the ground. It's not soil. Not kidding. Here's a hint. Don't. Dean from Naitahu wouldn't like it if I said this. I'd think very carefully about buying a section that's got terrible soil. Wayne and Sally know a wee bit about this, eh? Some of the sections in Horsville have got the most awful soil. Unbelievable, eh? And there's no way, it's going to be really hard to establish a garden in there. So if you've got hardness in your heart, it's going to be really hard for God to establish a garden in your heart. And you go back to the very first story. What's the first story about? Eden was a garden, and the whole idea was that this garden of Eden was to expand, to get bigger and cover the whole earth. That's my view on it anyway. So I recently had it, and again, oh man, crack open my heart. I had a little bit of fallow ground broken up in my life recently. So, and it was a very specific area of my life, and I attribute this to the kindness of the Holy Spirit, both showing me and then working in my life. So, as there's a few of us in the Sons Men's group that we sort of go to, and someone said you should listen to or read the book Dirty Glory, and straight away some people are like, what? Some of you think, where's this going, Craig? It's by a guy called, I've forgotten his name. Peter Greig. Thank you. Who said that? Thank you. So there's a guy called Peter Greig who's written a book, or he's written quite a lot of books. So his book is called, one of the books he's written is called Dirty Glory. So it's basically putting on glory and getting your hands dirty, actually doing the work. But this is the story of the 24/7 prayer movement that started in about 2000, and he basically tells the story. And so I just thought I was listening to a good story. And man, I tell you what, I listen in my car when I'm driving to work, when I'm going back and forth to visit clients, whatever it is, and I've just got Pete Greig there talking to me, and he reads it, which just makes it that much more impacting. And I'm sitting there, bawling my eyes out, driving around Christchurch. And I know quite a few other people as well have had this experience. And what is happening here? And there's Dave Wallace is a part of one of the Sons group at another church. Awesome man of God, leads a church called Revive over the other side of town. And I just, Dave, what is happening, man? I'm listening to these stories, and these are the most incredible stories about God moving and establishing prayer, and what happens when prayer gets established in a city. They establish these 24/7 prayer things. But basically, God started to soften my hearts in areas that I realized had become fallow, that I realized had become hard, and where I didn't intentionally say I've got a hard heart in this area, and it was all to do with his call. So that's quite confronting, isn't it? I realized that there was areas of the call of God that had become fallow in my life. What does fallow mean? It's not producing. It's not, and it's not cultivated, so the word of God can't get sown into it, and the word of God can't produce in it. So some of you guys have a call of God on your life. Actually, all of you do. There's a few open. No. And I wonder if the call of, I reckon that today, one of the things God wants to do is stir up his call on your life. And I've watched that happen in some of the guys that we've been walking with. Eric knows all about that, eh? Man, God really is stirring up the call on our lives. And it's his goodness, it's his kindness. But he wants his word to take root in our hearts. Because in the parable, it talked about one of the seeds that had no root. And I didn't get time to do this, so I didn't even ask you, but I was going to get a time-lapse video of a seed growing. You've probably all watched it on YouTube or whatever. So when there's a seed, when it grows, do you know where you see the first, if you can see a sort of like a cross-section through soil, do you know where it grows first? The root grows. It grows down first. It grows down into the depths first. It doesn't go up. It actually takes a wee while for the seed to pop out of the ground. So if God is working in your life and his word is taking root inside of you like it will be, no one might even see it. And I think that's kind of the point. Look at me, look at God. No, it's all about God's word growing down deep inside of you. So if you want the word of God to take root in your life, how do we let the word of God take root in our life? Well, we get what we know is his word and we focus on it. Give it our attention. Meditate upon it. Read it. Talk to others about it. Make it part of your conversation. Put your focus on his word. In Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9, God speaks to Joshua. And a lot of you guys will know the story again as well. And basically, the way I see this story, God sows his word into Joshua because Joshua's got a big job to do because basically he's got to take over after Moses. Whew! Man, that's a big job. And he's going to lead God's people. And I've got to read this. Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. I won't read the whole thing. Sorry, I should have got this open. So God says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. But then he says this, he says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people. Verse 7, he says, be strong and very courageous. And then in verse 9, what does he say again? Be strong and courageous. So why does God say that to Joshua? It's because he wasn't feeling strong and he wasn't feeling courageous. Simple. And he needed encouragement. So God sowed those words into his life. And he does it again. Joshua 8, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, and I mean, a bit has happened between then and now. This is 8 chapters later. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. But then I believe what happens in the time frames is that the word of God, because God told Joshua, don't let this book of the Lord depart from your mouth, meditate upon it, don't let it leave your lips, essentially. So I want you to focus on the word of God. And as he focused on the word of God, I believe the word of God started to take root in his life. And then look what happens in verse 10. Joshua 10, verse 25, the word of God has taken root in his life so that the word that God spoke to him, he now is able to speak to the men of Israel. Joshua 10, verse 25, Joshua said to them, and basically they've captured all these kings, and he says, come on, put your foot on their neck. And he says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. So the word of God that God spoke to him a few chapters ago somehow got inside of his heart, taken root in his heart, and now he is able to speak it to others and impart that strength to them as well. That's what God wants to do with you. He wants the word of God to get down inside of you so that it can grow inside of you, take root inside of you, change you so that you can then speak that to others. I reckon that's really cool. A couple of last scriptures. Jeremiah 1, verse 5, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So that's what God spoke to Jeremiah. What is the word that God has spoken to you about your calling, about your future, about your purpose? And I reckon God just wants to encourage you this morning about your purpose, about your calling. And if he wants to stir me up about my calling and my purpose and make me cry listening to it, you know, driving around town, people think I'm at the lights, I think, what's wrong with this guy, man? Far out. Maybe God wants to do it to you as well. Or God wants to stir up that calling, that destiny, that purpose inside of your life. Or have you noticed maybe there's an area where it's gone a bit fallow? Maybe it's just starting to hard up a little bit, not intentionally. Psalm 139. Now, I'm going to read this again. I'm going to read 16 verses. Wow. O Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Sounds like the word of God. Divine, yeah. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed on the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All of the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to being. I actually believe that God has literally woven his word, the potential of his word, into every cell of our being. Like it says, you formed me, and he literally has got a calling and a purpose for your life. There's potential in your life. This morning, I believe he wants to stir that. He really wants to stir the calling and the potential that's on your life. And it was before you were born. This is not something he's just making up as you go. God's calling you. And if you've got an ear to hear it, in Acts 13, verse 36, it says that David served God's purpose in his generation. And so I guess the question is, are we serving God's purpose in our generation? Am I serving God's purpose in my generation? I reckon he just wants to stir us with that a little. Can you hear that? Psalm 95, verse 7 to 8. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Because you can harden your heart. Man, that's full on. So if his word is being sown into your heart today, if you can just sense there's a bit of a stirring, just close your eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes for a minute and just engage with God for a little bit. And I just want you to ask the Lord, just let the Lord speak to you. If he wants to speak to you this morning, which I believe he does. Just like bring before him like the purpose, the calling upon your life. I love when Mark talked about how the calling doesn't diminish as you get older. Possibly gets bigger. Possibly actually the influence can get bigger. So don't look at the number of years you might guess are left. Think about the calling. What is the calling? What would God have you to step into that you haven't stepped into? What is it in your generation that God would call you to fulfill? And if there is a stirring, and if maybe as God is just sowing something, re-sowing something, softening an area of your heart, you just got to be aware, because there is actually an adversary who wants to steal that calling. There's actually word that God wants to sow into your life that the enemy actually wants to steal. He actually wants to take it away. He's actually looking for an opportunity to come in and to steal away the calling, the purposes, and the seed that God wants to sow into your heart. So then it goes back to what we talked earlier, that verse that says, guard your heart. And I just reckon this morning that some of us, maybe there's some people here, you just need to guard even the calling on your heart, the word of God that has been spoken into your heart. And only you will know what that is. So I just want to encourage you with that. I really want to encourage you with that. And then the other thing just to really encourage you is just, I'd love it if you could just think about what actually is, what are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? What is your heart drawn to? What is your heart focusing on? Because that thing is going to grow in your life. And I have to look at that myself as well. Maybe some people, the focus of your life is social media. Scrolling. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's there's images that you're just focusing on. Because what you focus on is going to grow. And so are you going to focus on the Word of God in your life? So can I just get you guys all just to stand up for a minute, if that's right? And I just want to really encourage you, Erica. God really is, but God really is stirring something in your life. And man, look at the fruit of what can be from your life, man. And I just reckon that God is really is stirring, stirring word that has been there for a long time. And I believe that God is like He's taking what's always been there and He's blowing upon it afresh. He's going to water it. He's going to grow it. And as you focus upon it, focus upon Him in your heart, it's just going to 30, 60, 100 fold. So, man, God really is wanting to really bless His calling upon your life. And it's like it's a real time of transition for you. It's a real time when God is going to bless you like you've never known before. And look at the incredible fruit. It's awesome, eh? It's really cool. And I just actually really wanted to encourage I felt to encourage Mark this morning as well. And I just felt like the Lord really wanted me to say to you that that there is a new thing happening. And when you spoke a couple of weeks ago, this is what I felt to do in obedience. But basically, God really is doing something new on your life. And I believe there's going to be new doors, new opportunities, as you just continue to focus on the calling that is upon your life. But there is something new that God's doing. And I just wanted to acknowledge that in front of everyone. And just in the presence, in the presence of everyone here, that there is a new thing happening on your life, which I think is really incredible. But there's someone I want to talk to today right now, though. So some of you, or maybe there's someone here, and you came today, and you don't know Jesus. And you've heard this talk about the Word of God and having a calling and a destiny and some purpose for your life. But some of you, I wonder if there's anyone here today that just says, I actually don't know Jesus, and I want to know this Jesus. I want to walk with this Jesus and the way that I see these other people around me. I want to make Him Lord and Savior of my life. And so is there anyone here this morning? And I just encourage, if I'd love you to put your hand up in a second. Anyone here that says, I came today to church and I want to get my life right with God. I really do want to get right with Him because He's been drawing me over this. Maybe the week leading up to coming to church today, you just felt this drawing in your heart and there was a bit of a battle. Do I go to church today? Don't I? But we really would love to introduce you to Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord and Savior, and introduce you to a loving God that loves you and has an incredible purpose for your life. So is there anyone this morning? We've got some people that would pray for you. We'd love to pray for a whole lot of anyone who's in that place. Anyone here this morning would love to, if you want to put your hand up, if there is anyone who would just want to say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Maybe been thinking about it for a little bit, not sure. If you kind of feel like the heart's beating a little faster, possibly that's a bit of a sign, maybe that's you. You'll know if God is speaking to you. Is there any hands? I can't see any hands. Okay, that's all good. If you still like, yeah, I'd love to, we'll be up here at the end and we'd love to pray with anyone. And the other one I do wonder is, I just wonder if anyone, you've had that calling of God upon your life and you recognize that, man, that calling has gone fallow. I've let it get a little bit hard. I'd love to pray with you. There's people in the ministry team here, we'd love to pray with you. So if there's anyone that would love that, would love to just be prayed for, that the call of God would be stirred in your life, man, we'd love to pray with anyone in that situation today. Anyone who goes, yeah, I just sense that stirring, and I don't want it to go hard again. I really want to just flow with God, and I want His calling on my life. I really want to follow His calling. So we're gonna finish there, and I would love to pray for anyone. So if you want to just come up the front, Sally and Wayne, the ministry team, we'd love to pray with you. Do you mind just getting on the worship, the key, just for a second, Grant? That'd be awesome. Thank you. And I just want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, this is quite a full-on thing to bring our hearts before you. And Lord, we recognize that our heart, where our hearts go, Lord, that really does determine so much of our life. Lord, and Lord, we just want to bring what we're focusing upon today. Lord, and maybe some of us need to repent and Lord say, hey Lord, I really need to refocus my eyes upon you, my focus upon you, Lord, because my focus has drifted away. And maybe, Lord, maybe I've even drifted away from what you've called me, what you've called my life to. Lord, I know there's a purpose on my life and there's a calling on my life. And Lord, I don't want to drift away from that. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to serve your purposes in my generation. So if there's anyone who would just love to be prayed for, we would love to pray for you, just to encourage you if you've felt that stirring. So if anyone wants to come up, that'll be great. And if not, that's all good as well. And I just really want to encourage you, if you're a young person, if you're under 20, I really would love you to think about what you're focusing on. If you're under 25, whatever it is, whatever age, if you think you're young, what is it that you're focusing on? What's the focus of your life? And is that what I want to grow in my life? Is that what I want to be the fruit of my life? Because what you're focusing on really will be what grows in your life. So Lord, I just lift up the young people in our house today. Lord, and I ask that you would really capture their hearts. Lord, I ask you would capture their hearts in a way, Lord, that only you can do. Lord, that you would turn them, that they'll be so captivated by you, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in such an incredible way, Lord, that they would have no other choice, no other option but, Lord, to want to be drawn to you. Lord, I ask that you would capture their hearts and lead them to you, guide them to you, Lord. Lord, that they would be part of a generation that rises up, Lord, with your name on their lips, with your word in their hearts, Lord, with the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, to impact the generation that is around them, Lord. So, Lord, we lift them up before you. We lift them up before you, Lord, and ask that you would bless them, that you would draw them. Lord, and we also ask, Lord, the focus that's not of you, Lord, we just ask that focus would just diminish, Lord, that it would be revealed for what it is, Lord, and that focus, Lord, would become distasteful. A focus that's not of you, Lord, that it would turn bitter in their mouths, and it would be something that they reject. In Jesus' name. Yeah. So could I just grab a couple from the ministry team? We'd just love to pray for these people here. If you've got one of those lanyards, it would be fantastic if everyone grabs one of those. So we're just going to stay up here, and thank you for listening, guys, and we'll look forward to Wes and Janet being back. It'd be great to see them again.